A particular reaction, in the form of happiness or distress, then we can understand that I'm receiving it because I had given away something. In other words, I had done some activity sometime in the past. To the degree I caused pain in the lives of others, I will receive that same pain in my life. So this is called the boomerang effect. I think you're familiar with boomerang in Australia. So boomerang is something which you release and it comes back to you. So you cause something in some people's life, and then it comes back to you. Is that some mobile phone or what is it? What is that sound? Yeah, I hope you're switching off your mobile phone. Just a bit. It is in giving that you will receive. So if your mobile phone rings now, when you're in a very difficult position, the phone will ring at that time. So this is, as I was saying, the boomerang effect. Whatever you do, it will come back to you. This is the law of nature. In fact, to the degree that we offer something good, we give something good to people in our words, in physical actions, and so on, and good thoughts as well, we will... What is that? Yeah. So we will receive. We will receive these good thoughts, good actions, etc. And if we are thinking bad about others, we're speaking bad about others, doing bad things to others, they will also come back. So when we receive things, we should not worry. Or we should not get discouraged, because it's something we have done somewhere in the past. And it's coming back to us. So this is, in some ways, a law of nature that we can't change. It brings to mind a little story. At one time there was a miser. The children will have to be controlled, please. It's we're speaking and the children, they should be, yes? So everyone can pay attention, and the listener and the speaker both can be. Yes, I was about to tell a story. One time there was a miser. He had never given away anything to anyone, even by mistake. He tried to accumulate things for himself, but he never shared them with others. He never offered them to anyone else. And then, one time, naturally, as it happens with everybody, he died. And according to his bad karma, he had to go to the hellish planets. Please don't change the things, just as it is, once the lecture starts. So he was in the hellish planets. And naturally he was suffering like anything. And he began to pray to Krishna, because he had some kind of pious merits. So he had some inclination to serve Krishna. So he thought, there's no refuge now, there's no other alternative. So let me pray to Krishna. So he desperately prayed to Krishna. And since Krishna is very merciful to anyone, even if that person is not a devotee, so Krishna was thinking, what should I do to help this devotee? So he went to Chitragupta, the secretary of Yamaraj. Chitragupta keeps all the track of everybody's sins and pious activities and so on. And Chitragupta had these many, many diaries filled up of all the sins committed by this miser. In this life there was nothing. So Krishna was thinking, this man has somehow called out my name. So I have to think of some way of helping him. So he told Chitragupta, at least look for something that he may have given so I get a chance to go and give back something to him. Because it's only if he has given away something good that he can receive something good. So please examine the previous lives. Are you sure about this life? He said, yeah, nothing in this life I can see. Nil balance. So then he went to the previous lives, one by one by one, and somewhere way back in one of the previous lives, yes, there was one incident where he had given a rotten banana to somebody. So Krishna is very kind, so he got hold of that. Ah, see, he has given something. Even if it is a rotten banana, but he has given away something. You know, there is a statement by Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, where he says, Ishvara Svabhava Bhaktir Na Laya Aparad Alpa Seva Bahumani Atma Paryanta Prasad. The meaning of this is that the nature of the Supreme Lord is that he doesn't take the offenses of his devotees seriously. Now this man, well, he was a sort of a devotee. I mean, if he has called out to Krishna, he must be a devotee of sorts. He is not a devotee like all of you, who are very sincere, dedicated, and, you know, understand what is Krishna consciousness. But he was a devotee of sorts, something. He had enough sense to call out to Krishna, even when he went to hell. So he must have committed so many offenses. But Krishna didn't take that so seriously because he doesn't do that. That's not his nature. However, even if there is some small good thing that the person has done, Krishna looks at that. And especially if it is a form of devotional service, then alpaseva bahumani, even a very small service is considered by Krishna to be very great. So much so that in regard or in with due regard to that little service that that devotee has done, Krishna becomes so obliged, he may even go to the extent of selling himself, Atma Paryanta Prasad, he may bestow himself upon that devotee. So now after scanning the records of many lives, this one activity came out, that he had given this rotten banana in charity to somebody. It was rotten, never mind, gave something. So Krishna said, okay, I've got a chance. Something now can be done to save this man. So he sent a letter to that man who was in hell. So, and it gave the message, climb up this ladder and you will be able to escape from hell. So this man started hastily climbing up because he was so eager to get out of hell. And he started climbing. Meanwhile, as you know, hell is very heavily populated, very high density of population there. So there were many others who were around him, and they saw this man climbing up the ladder, getting out of hell. They said, we also want to go. So they all scrambled to the ladder, and they were all trying to climb up. So as he was climbing up, he saw them below. So with his feet, he kicked them away so that they would not climb the ladder. He said, this ladder has been given to me by God. It's not meant for you. So go away from here. And when he refused to share that ladder with the others, the ladder disappeared. And he fell to the ground in hell and remained there. So even Krishna could not do anything. Krishna tried his level best. They got one little thing from some previous life. But still, even when he got that benefit, he refused to share it. He refused to give it to others. So the more we keep things to ourselves, the more we refuse to share it with others, the more we will be deprived of those very things in the future. And this is just ordinary material law. We have not even come yet to the point of spiritual life. Just ordinary material functioning in the universe is on this principle. So the principle of receiving only what you have given operates even on the material platform. So we can expect that all that we have given away and we continue to give will come back to us in equal measure. Now, of course, you may say, well, in this Kali Yuga, what to do? You know, we do so many things for people and then they're ungrateful and they don't respond appropriately to us. So we may have some of these grievances in our heart. Who doesn't? There are times when you help somebody and that person doesn't reciprocate with you as you would like. So then it gives you some pain. That reminds me of another story from the Mahabharata. One time, when Yudhishthira Maharaj was ruling, his brothers, as you know, they were always assisting him. So Bhimasen, he would try to assist the king by taking on some of his responsibilities. So what he would do was, people amongst the citizens, the praja, who had any problems, would first approach Bhima. Then Bhima would solve the problem and they would go back. So they wouldn't have to come all the way to Maharaj Yudhishthira to trouble him. So this was the system. So one day, there was a man who came to meet Bhima. And he said, I have a strange problem. The problem is that I have a fence in my property around my house. And then there is my neighbor. But this fence of mine, of its own accord, So, he said, this fence of mine, very strangely, it just jumps of its own accord and goes into the neighbor's property and plants itself in the neighbor's property. So, the neighbor gets angry, why is your fence coming into my property? He said, I don't know, I'm not doing that, but the fence is going on its own. So please solve this problem for me. So Bhima was thinking, this is really a strange problem, what can I do? So you please go to Yudhishthira Maharaj because he is really wise. So he will understand what to do. Soon after that another man came. He said, I have a very strange problem. He said, oh no, another one. He said, what is your problem? He said, you know, I have a big pot of water. I pour the water from that into many other smaller vessels and all the water is over and nothing is spilled. Then I pour the water from every single small vessel back into the big vessel and it's only half full. It was formerly full. Then I pour it into the smaller vessels without spilling. When I pour it back, there's half that's missing. So, what is the solution to this problem? We don't understand. Now, Bhima was also puzzled. He said, well, really, I don't know. You better go to Yudhishthira Maharaj and ask him because he is very wise. So he said, all right. Then a third person came along. This third person also, he came and he had some issue, he had some problem. And his problem was even more strange. So Bhima said, what is your problem? He said, see, I saw this elephant that was going through the eye of a needle. It went through. He said, really? Bhima said, went through. He said, yes, but that's not my problem. He said, what is your problem? He said, the problem is the elephant went through but the tail got stuck. So this is really strange. Now, Bhima was really thinking, my God, this is really a bad day now. I don't know what to do. All these strange problems are coming to me now. So he said, I think you better go to Maharaj Yudhishthira. He will solve your problem. And he was thinking, I hope there is nobody else who comes, but just then a fourth man came. So the fourth man, he said, Bhima said, I have some problem. He said, yeah, what is it now? He said, you see, there was a big rock on the street, and somehow the other way, because it was in the middle of the street, we all tried to lift it, but it would not budge. We had some strong people, including some wrestlers and all that, we all came and tried to move the rock, but it would not move. And then there was a sadhu who was coming along, and this sadhu was a devotee associated with Radha Gopinath temple in Sydney. And he came, and he just came and he waved his, he had a stick in his hand, he waved the stick and the stone, the rock just moved aside. So what is this, what is the secret behind this? What is the mystery of all this? I would like to know. So Bhimsena was equally puzzled. He said, again, go to Yudhishthira Maharaj. Now, all these four people came to Yudhishthira Maharaj one after the other. As soon as the first man had narrated his problem, the second one came and narrated his, and so on till the fourth man. So all four people were standing in front of Yudhishthira Maharaj. And then Yudhishthira Maharaj said, so this means that Kali Yuga is fast approaching. Now Bhima was also hearing, all the others were hearing all this, including these four people. So why do we say that Kali Yuga is fast approaching based on these four very strange incidents? He said, look, let me explain. The first episode was when the man, he came to Bhimsena, and what did he say? Do you remember? Yeah? The fence is moving to the next property. He said this is an indication of Kali Yuga, because in Kali Yuga nobody is happy with what he has. And everybody wants to have more and more and more, and they also usurp other people's property. They grab other people's wealth and property and they say, this is mine, this is mine, this is mine. This tendency is particularly prominent in Kali Yuga. So the fact that your fence is jumping of its own accord means that Kali Yuga is approaching, where people will have this mentality of not being satisfied with what they have and wanting to grab things from other people. Then what about the second thing? The second thing, what is it? The water in the pitcher. So the water, why is it half full when it comes back into the big pitcher? Well, this is very strange. You see, this is also an indication of Kali Yuga. How is this an indication of Kali Yuga? You see, the laws of nature are such that nobody can violate them, yes? But this was something very strange, because in Kali Yuga, things that were considered normal and natural in the previous ages, they all just evaporate. In Kali Yuga, everything becomes very, very complicated. So he said, you see, the problem with the water is because everybody is so concerned about just having their own fill, when they're never satisfied with whatever they have. So this is also a symptom of Kali Yuga. What about the third symptom when... what was the third symptom? The elephant. So you have all good memories. So the elephant, what is the reason for that? It's because in this day and age, everything is so difficult. People want to spend a lot of money that they have for sense gratification, for worldly pleasures. But when it comes to Krishna, or for spiritual purposes, they don't want to spend any money. So the whole body of the elephant goes through, that represents all the wealth you have, which you spend for your worldly purposes. And when you're asked to spend something for the Supreme Lord, then that tail, little thing, even that gets stuck. So people don't want to spend anything for that. And what about the last thing about the rock on the street? He says that is because in this age, people try to get rid of their sins and their miseries in so many ways, material ways. But those ways are completely unsuitable. They don't work. Material remedies do not work in this age of Kali. And even those spiritual remedies that are like different forms of austerities and renunciation, etc., they also do not work. So the sadhu is coming and just waving a stick over that means that the process of Nam Sankirtan is so easy and that is given by the devotees, and just by that single process, everything is accomplished. All the sins will be destroyed, all the miseries will be destroyed just by this. So this is the glory of Kali Yuga. So in any case, then these people were very satisfied. So the message that we can learn from this story is, especially in relation to our topic today, is that, you know, when it comes to relationships, and that's the second point which I've saved for now, is that when you do something for somebody, they return only 50%. If you give love to somebody, that person returns 50%. If you do somebody a favor, it returns only 50%. You help somebody, you get back only 50% help. So that is the meaning of the water coming back 50% into the big pot. So in Kali Yuga, this is the norm. You do something good for others, it will not come back in equal measure to you. It will come back to you in half measure. So therefore, when we try to help people, we should not become discouraged and disillusioned, thinking, I am helping people, but then they are not helping me back in turn when I am in need. Don't expect it, because this is Kali Yuga. You can expect only 50%. So that is why the water that went out is like what you give, and the water that came back into the pot was like 50% what you receive. So in this age, be careful to not get discouraged. Don't stop giving. Don't stop sharing, even though what you will get is only 50% of what you have given. That is a lesson we can learn from this little story. And also the fact that, yes, people don't share. They don't want to share with Krishna. They want to use it for themselves, all their wealth and all their assets and everything they have. So a devotee of Krishna should share whatever he or she has with others for the service of Lord Krishna. So in this way we see that even on the material platform, although the principle acts, the things come back, the good comes back in equal measure sometimes when we do, but in some situations when we do good to others, we should not be disheartened if it comes back only in half measure. But this is all on the material platform. What to speak of the spiritual platform? On the spiritual platform, if you help somebody, it will come back in unlimited measure. We cannot even imagine the kind of benefit that we will get. And the term we often use for this is causeless mercy. Causeless mercy, we say, oh, it is by Krishna's causeless mercy, or Srila Prabhupada's causeless mercy that we got this devotion. So what is the meaning or purport of this causeless mercy? Causeless mercy means mercy that is given to us that is far beyond what we deserve, disproportionate to what I deserve ordinarily. I deserve so much, but very kindly Krishna and the devotees have given me this much. So that is the purport of causeless mercy. So therefore in spiritual life, all the material formulae, they don't necessarily work. In devotional life, Krishna acts of his own accord to reciprocate with the love that the devotee has for him. So in Krishna consciousness, if we try to share Krishna with others, we try to help others, including devotees, then automatically Krishna becomes so happy and so pleased. He will give us enormous benefit in terms of spiritual advancement and mercy. Now when we offer something to Krishna, or offer something as a service to Krishna, to somebody else, what Krishna is looking at is not so much what we give. He is not even looking at how much we give. He is actually looking at what is the consciousness with which you give it. Is your consciousness that, okay, I'm giving it to him so that I've heard this formula is there, the calculation, that I'll get it back. So I'll do it with the calculation that I will receive something. No, that's not the right attitude. Is it then that I'm giving it to him so that I should be seen as a person who is very charitable and who likes to help other people, and I go out of my way to help people so that other people appreciate me for that. No, that's also a very subtle self-interest. So when we help people, it should be such that we will be completely pleased even if nobody knows about it. And it should be done in such a selfless manner that even that person may or may not reciprocate. So this is the way of giving. Giving in a selfless way. That is the kind of giving or offering that actually pleases Krishna. So in serving others, in helping others, or in serving Krishna in some way, in whatever way, one of the many forms of devotional service that we do, this is the principle we have to keep in mind. We don't seek any glorification. We don't seek any appreciation or even acknowledgement. Although it is human nature, we want to feel appreciated sometimes and encouraged, that is all right. But we should not become despondent or morose when that doesn't come. Because ultimately what Krishna is looking at is our devotion. You see, when you are spiritually minded, then you start thinking, what can I give to Krishna? I can only give to Krishna what is mine, but nothing belongs to me. Everything is Lord Krishna's property. So then where is the question of me offering anything to Krishna? It's like someone going into Ganga and offering the water of the Ganga into the Ganga, because that is the way of worshipping Mother Ganga. So in the same way, everything that we have, that we claim to be ours, is not ours. It belongs to Lord Krishna. As we know from the Ishopanishad, Isha Vasya Vidam Sarvam Yat Kincham Jagatyam Jagat Tena Ketena Punjitha Ma Grida Kasya Siddhanam. So the Ishopanishad says that everything animate and inanimate in this world belongs to the Supreme Lord. We have only what belongs to our quota, what is given to us as our quota, that is our right to enjoy. So this is the principle. So if we have a quota that is given to us by our prarabdha, by our destiny, then we should be happy with that, understanding well that even this is something we have obtained by Krishna's mercy alone. And then when we have this, which is our quota, which we consider our property, for external purposes in human society, we may claim it to be ours. But internally and spiritually, we should know it belongs to Lord Krishna. Because you see, the reality of this world is that if you start telling everybody, this is not my property, people will come and take it away from you. So it's not your property, but it's neither their property as well. So they also do not have the right to come and take it. So for legal purposes, for practical purposes, for everyday purposes, yes, we claim this is ours. But internally, the understanding is, it's not mine. It belongs to Lord Krishna. So I must use these things for Him, for His pleasure, for His happiness. And therefore, what Krishna is looking at is not the stuff that you offer, not the things that you offer, not the money that you offer. He is looking at the devotion. The most precious thing you can offer, that you can call your own, is your consciousness, your mentality, your bhava. If that consciousness is one of devotion, and then you're offering something to Krishna with that, then Krishna is very pleased. In other words, the offering that you're making primarily is of your devotion, of your pure consciousness. If there's anything you can give up, it is the false mentality of ownership, the false idea that this belongs to me. And then with proper understanding of who is the Lord and proprietor, we offer something to Krishna, then Krishna becomes extremely pleased. And then Krishna doesn't worry about whether you're offering Him a very small thing or a very big thing. Therefore, Bhagavad Gita, Lord Krishna says, Patram Pushpam Palam Toyam Yome Bhaktya Prayachati Tadaham Bhakti Paharitam Ashnami Prayatapanaha. He says, if someone offers me, someone meaning a devotee, Bhaktya, if my devotee offers me with love a leaf, a fruit, a flower or some water, then I will accept it because it is offered with devotion. So whether one is poor, one is rich, it doesn't matter. Surely even the poorest person on the planet can offer at least some water to Krishna. They can offer at least a leaf, a flower. Even the poorest person has to eat something. They can offer that to Krishna before eating. So this is the spirit of the offering. We've all heard the story of Sudama. When Sudama went to Dwarka to meet Krishna, and he had carried an offering. That offering was very meager. It was not at all an appropriate offering to give Dwarkadish, the Lord of Dwarka. When you go to meet a king, the king of kings, you take some gift that is very appropriate and suitable to give to that person. You will not take some very small gift which is the food of a very poor person. So he had taken chipped rice. Now chipped rice is something that is eaten by ordinary people. So Sudama was very hesitant to go there in the first place. But somehow to satisfy his wife, he went there. And when he went there, he didn't want to give that chipped rice to him. He never asked for anything, even though his wife had urged him to go and request Krishna to give some food to eat so that they would not be so poor. At least they would have some food to eat. They were so poor that they did not even have food to eat. So his wife, out of great anxiety for her husband's health, not so much for herself, but looking at her husband's frail condition because of lack of food, she urged him to go. And to please her, Sudama went. He did not like the idea of going to Krishna to get something material for him, even though it was something as basic as food. He wanted to simply go to see his old childhood friend because there was such a nice relationship of love between him and Lord Krishna. So he enjoyed one night and one day of hospitality, and then it was time for him to return. But he never asked anything from Krishna. On the contrary, when Krishna asked him, please ask me for something, he didn't say anything. And then Krishna asked, you must have got some gift for me. And he said no. He was lying. He was holding that pouch of chipped rice behind his back. And then Krishna forcefully grabbed it and took one morsel of that. And because of that one morsel, Sudama's fortune changed. And when he reached home, he found that he had a big mansion decorated with emeralds and rubies and precious stones. And his wife was also dressed in all sorts of fine garments and jewelry and so on. So this is the result of offering something very small to Krishna. He offered just one grain of chipped rice, which is very ordinary food, and even just one grain. And Krishna was so satisfied that he gave Sudama everything that even Indra cannot dream of having. Of course, a genuine devotee never offers something to Krishna with this idea, as I mentioned earlier, and especially never with any material motive. So, in this description, Shukadev Goswami quotes the same verse, Patra Pushpam Palam Toyam of the Bhagavad Gita. Exactly the same verse is quoted again in this context to indicate how Krishna is very kind and loving to his devotees. And even Alpa Seva Bahumani. So even a small service is taken by him as being something great. And that devotee receives bountiful supplies of everything and much more. In the Bhagavad Gita also Krishna says, Ananyas Chintayanto Maam Ye Jana Paryupasate Tesha Nitya Vyuktanam Yoga Kshemam Bahamyaham. For one who is constantly meditating on me, Krishna says, with faith serving me all the time, for him I carry what they lack and preserve what they have. So a devotee, truly speaking, who is very faithful and convinced of Krishna's protection, is not anxious about his or her material situation. The devotee is confident of Krishna's protection. And the devotee only wants to serve Krishna. And in return, Krishna gives everything. One time there was a fruit seller, a lady who was selling fruit, who came into Vrindavan. And she was calling out, anyone wants fruit, etc. So in those days there was a barter system. So Krishna, he was only a child at that time. He took some grains in his little palm, both his palms, and he wanted to go to that lady and give her those grains and take some fruit in exchange for that. But as he was walking, and since he was so small, and he didn't know how to hold the grains in his hand, so the grains fell through his fingers, between the gaps between his fingers. And by the time he reached the lady, he hardly had one or two grains left. But looking at Krishna, the lady was so captivated and she was so enchanted by the beauty of baby Krishna that she just started giving all the fruit she had in her basket, and Krishna couldn't hold everything. So she gave whatever Krishna could hold, and then Krishna went away. And when she looked down into her basket, she found the basket was filled not with fruits now, but with all sorts of diamonds and jewels and precious things. Beyond the wildest of her imaginations, she got back so much in return. So this is how Krishna always reciprocates with his devotees and gives so much back to the devotee, more than ever. And ultimately, when we come to Krishna, what are we seeking by offering ourselves to Krishna, offering our service to Krishna, our body, mind and words? When we offer this to Krishna, Krishna accepts that with pleasure, and he gives us in return the most valuable gift anyone can ever have in life, and that is love of Lord Krishna, love of Godhead, Krishna Prem, pure bhakti. That is the most precious gift that we can receive. So it is in giving our body, giving our actions, giving our words, giving our thoughts to him and to his devotees that we can receive this most priceless treasure of Krishna consciousness. So we should continue on with enthusiasm and never become discouraged or depressed because of obstacles that may come in our way. Many types of obstacles will come. Sometimes people may not talk to us properly, may not respond to us properly. Sometimes there will be financial crisis, sometimes there will be health problems, sometimes all sorts of difficulties will arise in our life because we are here in the material world. But we should not stop this whole wonderful sublime process of offering ourselves to Lord Krishna and for his sake to the rest of the world. And rest assured that Krishna will supply more than we can ever imagine. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna. What is the time now?
5 to 8.
5 to 8. Do you have any questions? Yes.
Hare Krishna Maharaj. Yes. Many times, especially for newer devotees, they don't really have this relationship with Krishna. And so when they hear things like, you should offer it to Krishna and he will reciprocate, they can't really relate to it because they don't know Krishna as a person. They don't really know that there is a person there. how can you have a relationship with someone that you don't really know or can't really interact with?
The question is that when we first come to spiritual life, to Krishna consciousness, we may not have faith or conviction in the fact that we have a personal relationship with Krishna. Well, you see, the relationship comes about by serving, by service. Srila Prabhupada used to give an example that most people today in this generation cannot relate to, but people in the older generation can relate to nicely. He said that when a boy and a girl get married, they don't know each other so well. And so, when they get married, they have to live with each other. But by serving each other, they develop love for each other. Then they live together happily as a husband and wife. And they have family, it goes on. So even though they did not, know earlier, but because they understood at least that, yes, now this is my husband, this is my wife, and they started acting in accordance with that, then that relationship flowered and became real. So similarly, in the beginning, we need what is called sambandha jnana, knowledge of our relationship with Krishna, that I am eternally part and parcel of Krishna. And my constitutional position is to serve Him and love Him. So when we do that, then automatically the love will develop, just by the process of service. So somehow or the other, therefore, if we are engaged in service, then everything will happen automatically after that, if we are doing it under the proper guidance. Is there any other question? Okay, so we will have some 5 minutes of kirtan. Namo Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Krishnaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Niti Namine Namaste Saraswate Deve Gauravane Pracharine Shesha Shindivadi Paschakya Deshatarine Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Jivasadi Gaura Bhaktivinoda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. Thank you.
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare.
Everyone is welcome. It starts at 10:30. Sunday, we have program at Varunga, at Vaikuntha Ashram, at Narasimha Prabhu's place. Again, starts at 10:30. From Sunday evening to Tuesday night, Maharaj is giving class in the temple from 7:30 p.m. onwards. Please come. And next weekend, we are having a very nice retreat with Maharaj. Obviously, retreat is by registration only. The registration are closing on Sunday. So if you have not registered yet, please register as soon as possible. Only day visitors are allowed now. And now Maharaj is going to distribute some Mahaprasad with his own hands. So please come forward and take some Mahaprasad.